Okay. My scripture reading is in Hebrews. And I know if you were in our Sabbath lesson this morning, you heard that there are some people that throw out the book of Hebrews. So you might would know that. Is my scripture reading today is in Hebrews, and it's in chapter 12, and starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not discipline? Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these words. Heavenly Father, we know that they are words of truth. And Heavenly Father, we know that all of your word is to lead and guide us, to help us become better children of yours, to become closer to that which you are, and lead us in that path that leads to you. And Heavenly Father, help us rightly discern the truth that you have for us. And Heavenly Father, bless these words and thoughts that we will bring. Help them to be understood by each one as you would have them to understand. And in all these things, we give you praise and honor and glory. In the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask these things. And amen. The title of my message today to you is Witnesses for God. And hopefully, each one of us that are in the family of God and are literally children of the Almighty God, hopefully we are and have been good witnesses for God. And in my text is part of that, Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. It is interesting that my scripture reading and this chapter 11 and 12 of Hebrews sets before us a picture of not only a sporting event, comparatively speaking, that is a race in life and of life that is to be run. Each one of us is in a race, and the race that we are in, we are in it to win. And our scripture reading and our text is letting us know that we need to do all we can to win this race that Yahweh has given to us. The race in life that we are to run. And we are to go about it in as thoughtful of a manner as we possibly can, doing everything within our knowledge to win the race. That is to live our life like Yahweh would have us to live it, the way His truth tells us to live it. We are to set aside all the weights. Would you want a weight on your shoulder or a big heavy backpack on your back if you were going to run a race and try to win it? Absolutely not. You want to set aside all these things that hinder you, that weigh you down. And you know one of the main things that weighs you down in life? That you submit instead of resisting the evil one. You submit sometimes. Maybe not even knowing what you're doing at the particular time. But instead of resisting the evil one, you end up submitting. And what we need to do is resist the devil, flee from him, and submit ourselves to Almighty God and what He has for us, laying aside all the hindrances, the weights in life that come to us, set them aside, and run the best race that we can. The Word says, set aside sin. Every one of us knows right from wrong. The Scripture let us know that in the days in which we live, men and women will naturally know right from wrong, good from evil. They won't have to necessarily read the royal commandments of God saying, do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery. It will be in your heart. And so we need to know that Almighty Yahweh wants us to obey. He wants us to be righteous. He wants us to do by nature the things that He has put in our mind and our heart, and not resisting those things. Not giving in to the flesh, so to speak. Not giving in to the things that Satan brings to us. The cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, that my scripture reading was speaking of, includes all of the saints who have preceded us. All of the witnesses that have gone before us and been before us. They were eyewitnesses of the things that God does and the things that He has for His family and for His children. Not only are we presented the idea of a race in life that we are to run and we are hopefully to win, that is, win the approval of Yahweh at the end of our life, or at Jesus' coming, Yeshua of Nazareth, as He brings forth the very end, comes in the clouds of glory, right at that end time, right at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, when it's spoken of the great day of the Lord. If you ever read that and it's in your Bible, and mine many times, that great and terrible day of the Lord. That's the day at the end of the tribulation period, the last great day, so to speak. Not that it is literally the last day, because there will be things that go on even after that. But the most notable great day of the Lord will be that day in which the second coming of Yeshua is. And He comes down to this earth to settle things that are going on in this earth, literally at Jerusalem, with all of the nations of the earth gathered together at Jerusalem by God Almighty, by Yahweh of old, gathered there for his end time purposes. And Yeshua comes, the dead in Christ rises to meet him in the air, living in Christ rise to meet him. And so then proceeds the rest of the story, or the rest of what his word lets us know through his prophets and through Jesus Christ himself while he was here, letting us know of the end time events, things that are going to be beyond what we know right now. It was not only a race that is spoken of in my scripture reading, but it's also a picture set as a court of law. And in this court of law, there is a judge. And who do you think the judge at that time is going to be? I could only imagine it being one judge. And only one can be that righteous and just judge that I know that he is. And the judge is Yahweh, God, if you want to speak in generic terms. The jury is who? The whole world that's unsaved. Because that's what these scriptures are speaking to. That's what these cloud of witnesses is for. That's what his word here is speaking to, the whole unsaved world, and letting them know about Yahweh, the one and only creator of all that is, and of his love for the world and his love for the unsaved, of his concern and his care and wanting them to become part of his family, become one of his children. And that's what this court of law is about, as described in this particular part of his word. The scene is that court of law. The jury is the whole unsaved world. And the cloud of witnesses are those who have been eyewitnesses for him, seen with their own eyes, heard with their own ears, and they tell what they have witnessed, what they've seen, what they've heard, and do not say anything that they have not seen and heard. In other words, they're just exactly straight down the line like you would expect of a just trial. The trial is, for the unsaved, is this real? Is Yahweh of old who this book says that he is and who he claims to be? Is the Messiah, Yeshua of Nazareth? And he came and he carried out the ultimate plan of Yahweh, that he die on the cross for the unsaved so that they would be able to make that decision to be one of God's children, to be in his family, to have rights to all of the things that a father's children would have rights to. Primarily that they would be saved from their sins, from their bad decisions, from their bad life, from their unworthiness, and be counted as righteous and good in the sight of their Father. And Jesus Christ paid that price, died on the cross, shed his blood, was the perfect sacrificial lamb, just as if it was Passover days, And isn't that coincident? Coincidental. Is it coincidental? No. Nothing that the Yahweh of old does is that way. It's perfection. Nothing but perfection is Yahweh's ways. And his plan was that Yeshua, his only begotten Son, pay the price, shed his blood as the perfect sacrificial Passover lamb for all of the world, that would come to their senses and believe on him and turn to Almighty God for forgiveness of their sins through that perfect sacrificial lamb that was given for them. That's wonderful. All of the Word of God is so wonderful as you read each and every little verse. And it all means so many times like what you would think that it would mean, because some is so small and seemingly insignificant. But as you read the same exact verse or chapter over and over and over, you get, after about 10 times, you would still be getting more and more and more that you had never seen before or never come to your mind or thought of before. You would be getting that much more truth and instruction from this same exact scripture or verse or chapter that you had read so many numerous times before. Is that not true? Have you not experienced that? I've experienced it so many times in my life that it is a fact to me. I know it. That's part of why I have the trust in God that I do. Why I have no reservations about God. Why I read in His Word of these cloud of witnesses and what they say to me through His Word and through the gift of the Holy Spirit being within me, leading me and guiding me and guiding my mind and my heart as I read these verses into more and more truth that He has for me. All of these things are things that come to you over a lifetime. And if you want them, they'll come to you. If you're studious enough and if you have that love for God, He has a love for you. He's already proven that. God's love is for you. But do you have the love and concern for Him? To want more and more of His truth. And to want the things that He has for you as His promises and as being His heir. The word witness is a word with legal connections. In the New Testament, the word is used of the testimony of the early disciples as they were standing, as if they were standing in a court of law, with truth pertinent to the case under consideration. And the case under consideration is that of the unsaved world or the unsaved person considering the greatest case that has ever been before human beings. That is God's Word. Yahweh of old, His Word. What He says, who He is, what He has done. And you read of this in His Word, inspired by His Holy Spirit, and given to us through witnesses, which wrote down what they seen and heard and told of. It is firsthand personal witnesses. The unsaved world was a jury who listened to the testimony of the Christian witnesses and decided on the basis of the testimony whether Yeshua of Nazareth was indeed the only begotten Son of Yahweh of old. In the words of the text, those who bore testimony are bearing a witness to believers to encourage them to remain steadfast to the one they know and the one they read of and heard of. And not only to remain steadfast, but to persevere, to endure to the end. What end is that? We probably don't know. Whatever the end that God has for us, whether it's that we are alive and remain and are in His hands at the end, whether we have already gone before and are waiting on the return of the Lord, or hopefully not that other, lost, wandering around without Almighty God in our heart and life. Some of these honorable witnesses. Hebrew 11 has been called Faith's Hall of Fame. And it contains the testimony of these witnesses as they tell what they have seen and heard. And it is for this jury to listen and decide. The jury is the lost in the world. And the decision they make is going to determine their eternity for them. Whether they're lost eternally or whether they're saved eternally. They are in a valley of decision. And this is what the court of law is all about. With these cloud of witnesses that is telling their story. Let's look at Hebrews 11 and 1. Actually, that is not what I'm... Well, let's go down to verse 4. Excuse me. First witness we want to look at is Abel, that Hebrews 11 and 4 lets us know about. By faith, Abel, do you remember the story of Cain and Abel? One didn't get to continue on, did they? Because of the other. One had a good witness. One did not have a good sacrifice to God. One was judged righteous. One was judged unrighteous. Some think of it as being unfair because the words that they are given don't seem enough to explain the situation to make a call. But you know, the one that was able to make that call is the one who knew it all, just like he does now. So even though we read those scriptures and it seems like it's incomplete in its description, to be able to make a judgment doesn't mean that Almighty God did not know it all and have it all, and obviously He did. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Boy, what better person to testify for you than God Almighty, the one who brought everything into existence. God was his witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. That was the first witness that these scriptures let us know about. Let's go down to verse 5, and it speaks of Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Isn't that something to know that you please God? We'll speak some more about that. But you know, one of the best ways that you could please God is to be obedient to him. To know that he is, to accept him and trust him and love him, and be obedient to him. Just the thing that you would think would please your father. Do that which your father loves. Your father wants the best for you. He's going to tell you what is best for you. But are you going to do it? If you do it, you're going to please him. If you don't, you're not going to please him. It's sort of exactly like that. Let's go to verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. It took some faith for Noah to build that ark. And I don't think rain had yet come upon the earth, I don't believe, at that time. And yet he was going to build a boat. Well, just because it hadn't rained didn't mean that there wasn't water. Obviously, the Mediterranean Ocean was there, and the Dead Sea was there, and the Sea of Galilee was there. So he prepared a boat, and you know, he preached and tried to persuade and tell and warn the people of the consequences of their way of living. And he built and built and built for 100 years. And not one person outside his family believed him. Isn't that amazing? He had built this huge ark, this huge boat that would become a vessel by which the ones would be saved from what was to come. They could see it happening and growing every day that went by. And it was literally as long as from here to the next block down there. Huge. As wide as this building is here, maybe a little bit more, but all the way as long as from one block to another. High, 3 stories high. And yet not one person heeded the words that was brought to him by Noah to be saved. That is just strictly amazing. That was one of the testimonies. What the life of Noah had. What God's gift for Noah was and how he carried it out. In verse 8 through 19, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place in which he should afterwards receive an inheritance, obeyed and went, not knowing whither he went. And by faith he continued on and did all that story that is told of Abraham. Abraham would challenge us to obey God whatever the cost. God told him, get out of the land that you're used to, that you were born in, that was your home, and go away across to this other place that I have for you and for what is to come from me dealing with you, from your descendants. And so Abraham left what is now Iraq and went all the way up Iraq, and all the way down by Syria and Jordan, all the way to Canaan, to the promised land. And Abraham would testify, and the words of God brings us Abraham's witnesses of what God did for Abraham and for the descendants to come. Isaac and Jacob and Joseph would challenge us to trust God implicitly to accomplish His purpose in the future. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 tribes of Jacob, which was name changed to Israel, 12 tribes of Israel, God's chosen people. I will multiply you as of the stars of heaven, numerous as the sand on the beach. You won't be able to count. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants to come after you. In 23:11, verse 23 through 30, the account of Moses as a witness. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Of course, that was to kill the sons of the Hebrew people that was born at that time. Their life was to be taken by a decree of the Pharaoh. By faith, Moses trusted God through the difficulties of his present life, knowing that God does hear, and He not only hears, but He will lead you and will deliver you. And so He did. He used Moses and Moses' brother Aaron to lead the children of Israel out of their bondage and slavery. After they had been held there for over 400 years. And so Moses witnesses to Almighty God and to His provision and to His sustenance through all of the 40 years of wandering in the desert, leading the children of Israel, rebellious as they were, back to their promised land. God heard their cries for help. He delivered them from slavery. He sustained them as they went on their way. And he completed by bringing them in to the land flowing with milk and honey. Witnesses of what God is, what He does, what He will do, His plans for the earth and for each one of us. The recurring truths. There are certain great truths that are emphasized over and over again in God's Word for the benefit of those who struggle in this valley of decision, trying to wrestle with flesh, trying to wrestle with, do I believe what is brought to me? Do I believe God's Word? Do I believe that God is the great creator of all? That He had a great plan for His creation, and it included His only begotten Son. Was Jesus, Yeshua of Nazareth, really the Messiah prophesied in His Word to come? These cloud of witnesses, His Word, should let each one of us know and make that decision. One of the first of the great truths that recurs all through His Word is that we should believe in faith, always and without exception. These witnesses and all of His Word declares that God is faithful and that He is trustworthy. And they would encourage us to believe and to stand on His promises. They would declare that God is honest and honorable, and that He does not play games with His children, with His family. He don't play games in their lives, and He certainly does not play games in the death. Secondly, a recurring truth is that obedience is necessary with His children. By faith, they obeyed God as they understood His will for their lives. And there's no substitute for obedience. Disobedience always produces disappointment. Obedience may bring hardship and difficulty for the present, but it produces spiritual success. It accomplishes all that your heart would desire in the long run. And thirdly, the recurring truth is sacrifice is essential. The heroes of our faith have been men and women who have denied their selfish motives and ways, and have given themselves unreservedly unto the services of God and their fellow humans. God's provision as a sacrifice for you. We must believe that. That's a recurring truth. God requires sacrifice for sin, for disobedience. He required it of old. He required it forever. He requires it now. We would not be saved if it wasn't for the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, Yeshua of Nazareth. It was important. It was part of God's ultimate plan. It's always going to be that way. Your obedience in sacrifice to God is also important. Your sacrifice, that is, to God and to your neighbor. We're to be of service to God. Not only for Him, but we are to be the right kind of witness to our neighbor. You are the jury. Do you have faith in the witnesses who have borne a testimony concerning the faithfulness of God and to the way of life abundant, that is eternal life? Will you trust your life and your time and your energy, all that you are, will you trust it into the services of God, with whom these cloud of witnesses walked and talked, heard and seen, and told you about in His Word? The decision is yours. Without faith in God, which comes from His Word, which comes from hearing and seeing what the witnesses that we are talking about, seeing them as they seen, that's where that faith comes from. And without faith in God, you cannot be led to see Him, to know Him, to believe in Him, to trust Him. But that's where all of that comes from. What God gives to you. He has many gifts from you, for you. But that faith and that trust comes from responding to Him and His call to you. To distrust Him leaves a man to his own resources, or a woman. So why would you want to use your resources, that is, your abilities, your mind, your physical abilities, why would you want to use that when you have God's? All you got to do is accept it and put it to use. And you have it. Let your mind and your heart be convinced by the witnesses, this cloud of witnesses that we read about in Hebrews 11 and 12. Let your mind and your heart be convinced that God is a great God and a loving God. He is trustworthy. He truly cares and is concerned about you. He wants you in His family. And all you got to do is reach out and take His hand, because His hand is already extended out to you. He loves you and He wants you. Respond to Him. If you would, stand with me right now. I'm going to have us read a couple of verses before we read our blessing of God to us and to each other. The first one let's read together is Hebrews 11 and verse 1. And this is saying that faith is, and let's read it, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's faith. Now, without faith, let's read this. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Isn't that wonderful? Faith and what it means to not have faith. Let's go to our blessing of God to us. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen and amen. Let's